from the fields of faith to the call of the bride. Tonight, God's hand in Abraham's final test, a bride for the promise. Our weekly comprehensive Bible study starts now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Another episode of Last Christian and our Bible study show. We're going to have a good time today because I'm a little under the weather, and Joel's just going to ask all his great questions that everyone has in their minds, and we're going to go from there. I know the answer's in my head somewhere, so I just don't know how to get them out right now. So Joel's going to help and get them out for us. Joel, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, David. We're all praying for David, and I hope that you guys will do that as well. We totally believe in the power of prayer. And let's get him back to normal again. It always happens, David, when somebody goes on vacation, always something happens. You either come back exhausted or sick, you know?
It never fails. There are extenuating circumstances. I was trying, look, I want to go on vacation and do nothing. Can we just do nothing? No, we have to go visit here. We got to look up this. We got to go shopping. I don't want to do anything.
I can relate to that. Okay. Well, Father, we're going to come to you once again and ask, please, for your help and your guidance today in make this show something special for someone out there. And by that, I mean that they come to know you as their Lord and Savior. And Father, that's what this show is all about. And we do ask that you please continue to work with David and bring his health back to normal again. But we also are looking to bring help to someone out there that needs it eternally. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, David, to save your voice a little bit, I thought really what I did is I put together my own notes in advance of this. And so I've got something up here on screen, which is Sarah's passing in Genesis 23. And Abraham's response not being despair but faith. Now, I'm just kind of going through this really fast because I don't want to take away from you. But my first question really is about this purchase, the first legal foothold in Israel that was ever owned in Canaan, which, of course, becomes a part of the promised land. So why did he not go back to, I forget what city he was from there.
Ur of the Chaldees.
Yeah, but why didn't he go back there? Why did he decide to buy land? And by the way, it was given to him, David. Yes. Or would have been given to him, but he refused that. Can you explain some of that stuff?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of things along these lines. And one of them is, where did you get it? It's like getting rich, but you're doing it at the cost of what? Like Hollywood. They always say you sold your soul to the devil. Mm-hmm. Now, God can make you rich if you want. Right. The problem is, what are you going to use it for? And what are you doing? Where the devil just come and say, hey, I can make you rich. But there's a similar situation after Abram went and he fought off the five kings. And he had 318 trained warriors, which all had men underneath them. So he had a huge army. It wasn't just 318 men. Those were the captains and all.
Right.
But at the same time, he met Melchizedek, if you remember, the Chedorlaomer. It's hard to say for me, even. But the king of Sodom, too, came to him and said, hey, I'm going to give you all this cool stuff. So Abram at the time said, absolutely not. Right. I won't even take a shoelace from you. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, why? He says, lest you say that I have made Abram rich. Mm-hmm. The whole idea was he wanted to make sure that it was God
got the glory,
getting it to him.
And
that no one else made him rich, so he can't give the glory to anyone else. And so that same theme runs all throughout the whole episode. That's just the way it was back then. The weird thing is like having your handmaid have a baby for you.
It's kind of weird too
today.
Well, but, you know, I'm looking at this. I mean, it said that, you know, Sarah lived to be 127 years old.
Yeah.
And God had sworn to get, you know, to make Abraham the father of many, many nations. But his response here is what interested me, because he said it wasn't in despair, but he had, you know, a full faith in God. But so instead of returning to Mesopotamia, that's at least what I've got here in my notes, to find like maybe a temporary resting place, because he was what do you call those people that just move around all the time?
A gypsy?
No. shoot, I can't remember. I can't remember. I'll think of it here in a minute. But, you know, he was used to moving around. He was always in a tent. You know, he never really built a house or anything.
So there's now, a reason for that, too.
Well, maybe you can get into that, you know. But he insisted on buying this property, which was a cave in Machpelah, something like that.
And that was so that was because he wanted to bury his wife.
Right, bury Sarah, right, uh-huh.
Yeah, so he wanted to own it. He didn't want anyone to just give it to him. Okay. I think David did something like that too, King David. Mm-hmm. He's like, no, I'm going to pay full price. And because then no one has that hook in your jaw. No one says, oh, look, I gave you that.
Yeah,
you know, so they can't come back later and say, hey, well, you know, you kind of owe me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, actually, I've got that written down, David. He said that he will not owe his inheritance to men, but instead to God's promise. That was the rough draft.
And so with the increase that God gave him, that's what he purchased it with.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's not like, you know, God doesn't come up and go, okay, there you go, it's yours. No, he gives you the wherewithal to do things and earn money and be righteous. Mm-hmm. That's what it's there for. That's why he made, you know, everything. I mean, he could have made us where we don't have air to breathe, but he made us with air to breathe and food to eat. And these are all the things we work with. But he also gave us the ability to earn money according to how much work we put in.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, okay, this was essentially, it's God's money. Because if you, Jesus talks about the parable of the talents, and the guy said, you know, what the guy with the 10 talents came back and made 10 more, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, so, but who gave him the talents to begin with? You know, who gave him the money to begin with? So it's like he gives you the ability, and then he expects you to get a return from
to do something. Yeah, right?
And that's, you know, and not just randomly say, okay, well, I'm just going to let you, you know, that's a libtard mentality that they have today. I want a universal basic income. Okay, go get it work.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like with us, David, really. I mean, you know, we've both got what we need. And I feel like the Lord gave me this thing I've got here right now, you know. And, yeah, I mean, I could turn this whole thing into a music radio station, for instance. You know, I could and play secular music and make all kinds of money. Okay.
Yep.
Well, instead, let's give glory to the Lord. You know, and let's take let's take the message out there. I was even unsure about even doing this and even getting this building, which became the office and studio for this entire thing. I was even hesitant to do that, and then all of a sudden my business bank says that I won $1,000 out of the blue. I've never won anything in my life, okay, but I was trying to go through this process of, you know, should I or shouldn't I, and I took this as a direct sign from the Lord himself. Yes, this is what I want you to do. And so I put every penny of that into this, okay,
and there you go. You know, that was the seed money.
So, you know, it's not about trying to do something for yourself. What you need to do, what you need to concentrate on out there, if you're listening to me out there, what you need to do is put the glory into the Lord, and he will continue to bless you. Okay. That's the best way I can say that.
And it's the same. I mean, it runs along the same idea that the reason he always lived in tents is because he wasn't looking for this land. He was looking for the promised land to come.
Yeah.
And he hasn't gotten there yet.
Yeah.
That will be when Jesus returns, and Abraham will be like, aha, there it is.
Well, now it says, my notes are telling me that this purchase becomes the first legal foothold of Israel ever owned in Canaan.
It's is probably that correct? The first, like, I would imagine it's the first for Abraham.
Okay.
Maybe because he had to pay somebody for it. Mm-hmm. So somebody obviously owned it before that. But yeah, it's definitely fits in the line of contract terms.
Yeah, because it says that small parcel of land would one day lie in the middle of the promised land, symbolizing God's faithfulness from generation to generation.
Yeah, I like that idea, but I think it's more so because of Sarah.
Okay. She needed a place, or he needed a place to lie her for after her
death. Well, she's in the center of the promised land.
Mm, yeah.
And, you know, she is the miracle. I mean, not for nothing, Abraham was, if she was 127, how old was he?
Yeah, he was older than her. I don't remember.
He was 137 when she died. Okay. He had 10 years on her.
Okay.
Well, yeah, what did he do? He went out and got married again.
Right.
And had 6 more boys. All right? So obviously she was a little younger. Uh-huh. So it's not necessarily the miracle of Abraham because he had a whole bunch of kids after that.
Mm-hmm.
The miracle was in Sarah.
Amen.
Because she was barren.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was impossible for her to have kids. She was 90 and she even left.
Yeah.
So therein lies a miracle. That's the miracle of the birth of Israel, mm-hmm. is the woman who couldn't have kids. Now the miracle's here. Now every last Jew in history is a miracle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it just seems right. She's, you know, in the center of the promised land. That's my thought.
Well, now, also, this is kind of a crazy note, and I'm not sure if it's accurate or not. It says that this cave in Machpelah, or however you say that, mm-hmm. Remains to this day in modern-day Hebron. But it says it's still contested and it's still sacred, that what began as Abram's act of faith continues to echo through history as Israel fights to keep the land God gave them. Each conflict over Hebron is a reminder that God's promises never expire and that his covenant people, mm-hmm. in other words, the Jews and Israel, remain central to his plan. What do you say about that?
Hang on one second.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. There we go. So there's always going to be contentions.
Yeah, with anything with Israel. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, all the other sons of Abraham, they're like, no, we want it. And so they all fight for that. And some of them are like kind of okay with it. Like Arab Emirates. They're like, they're our mm-hmm. cousins. Be nice to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but most of them are like, no, I want them back. So the descendants of Ishmael and who's the other one? Esau.
Yeah.
They're the ones that basically got the birthright taken from them,
right.
both of them.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so they're the ones that are fighting. But the sons of Keturah, they were clearly, you know, 37 years later at least. Mm-hmm. So they had no birth. They had no skin in the game. So they're all like, no, they're cool. That's mm-hmm. our cousins. So this all plays in, and they did get mixed up. So it's really now it's the mentality and the spirit that came down after that. But what was the original question?
Well, I mean, they were just saying that this cave, you know, remained.
Oh, yeah. That was contention. That's right.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So yeah. The ones that want to fight Israel, they will always bring up. And that's because, you know, Satan doesn't want them to have it. And Satan clearly runs Islam.
I guess the full question there is, it says that this cave still remains. So does that mean that Abraham is still buried in that thing and that, you know, people can't get at it or have got at it or what?
If that's the real cave, uh-huh. yes.
Okay.
Okay. And there's pretty much arguments on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there is an archaeological site over there, and they do have that. So there's arguments on both sides. They tend to believe that it is true, so no one wants to mess with it because basically it's all of their father.
Yeah.
So they don't want to mess with it either.
Yeah.
But then you have Constantine's mother came over and she just randomly pointed to a bunch of places and said, oh, this is this, this is that.
Mm. Yeah, because she just wanted to
get that idea.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. That makes sense. Okay. So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Basically, there's a structure on top known as the Tomb of the Patriarchs. Mm. And that was made bigger by Herod in the first century. And so more likely than not, it is the place. So it's really revered by all the Jews, the Christians and Muslims as Abraham's spot.
Okay. And yeah, Sarah, it's amazing Sarah to me that the Muslims or the Islamic faith, whatever you want to call them, they accept Abraham. And do they not realize he was a Jew? Did they not figure that? Haven't they figured that out yet after millennia?
No, he wasn't a Jew.
Huh?
He wasn't a Jew.
He was not.
No, Jews come from the term Judah.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Or Yehudim.
So what and was Yehudim, he then, David? Go ahead. Finish that, but tell
he
me
was
what
the patriarch.
Okay.
So Israel wasn't, it was Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob.
Right.
Jacob changed his name to Israel. Israel right. was Jacob, and it wasn't Isaac, and it wasn't Abraham.
Okay.
Now he's the father and the grandfather of the Jews,
okay.
but he was not a Jew. Technically, the 12 tribes are what we call the Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But if you're going to go with Hebrew, that's from the land of Eberu. Okay. And then, so Eberu was... basically is the offspring of the Eberus or the Wanderers. So that's where they get the term, the Wandering Jew.
Okay.
So Eberu, basically now we call him Hebrew. So Abraham was Hebrew, but he wasn't Israeli and he wasn't a Jew.
Okay. All right. Well, I stand corrected on that because I always, I always considered him a Jew. I always did. So, okay. I learned something as usual.
Well, he's the father of the Jews, but it was all Jacob's 12 kids, 12 boys actually.
Yeah. Well, now
that became,
go ahead.
Jacob's 12 boys became the 12 tribes of Israel. Mm-hmm. And that's where all the promises came through. And it just became a catchphrase to call, the Yehudim or from the tribe of Judah. It just became a catchphrase for anybody who was, you know, an Israelite. They just call them Jew, even though they might be from the tribe of Benjamin, like Paul.
Okay, I gotcha. Okay, it makes sense. All right, now looking ahead here, in I'm going to go to the servant's oath. Okay, this is in Genesis 24.
Okay,
Abraham's really old. Okay, and
he's old.
Yet his mission still remains incomplete. Because the covenant must pass to Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
And Isaac's got to have a bride who shares his faith.
Okay. Yep.
So now Abraham calls this guy named Eliezer or something.
Yeah, Eliezer. God is my helper. That's what it means.
And he makes
he's a type of the Holy Spirit, by the way.
Oh, okay. And he makes him swear an oath.
You know? Yep.
And so he says he can't marry any Canaanite woman, which is where they're located, right?
Right.
So he sends him back to Mesopotamia and in search of a bride. And he doesn't even know how to figure out who this bride's going to be or how it's going to. So kind of. You fill in the blanks from there, because I got a bunch of notes here, but not necessarily do they all make sense. So go ahead.
Well, in verse 2, it wasn't under his thigh.
Okay.
it was something between his thighs, and that's what it
means. Okay. Uh-huh.
And there's a reason for that, because it was symbolizing his seed. And, you know, where do men keep their seeds?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I had the thigh here. That's the reason I wanted you to go first. Okay. Go ahead.
It wasn't really a thought. Just saying. You can use your imagination.
Right.
So, and it was Eliezer. And it So, but it doesn't say his eldest servant in the house. We find out from other places his name was Eliezer, which means God is my helper. So Abraham is exalted father. Eliezer is God is my helper. Mm-hmm. And then you have Isaac. Mm-hmm. And he is a type of Christ. So what's really interesting is this is a whole picture of the church that will come. Okay. And how Israel will bring about the church as well. And Paul talks about that a lot. So he goes out. Let me go make the bigger picture here. It's like, okay, I got it. Now, keep in mind, if she was 127, how old was Isaac?
Okay, we covered that. That he was 137, right? 10 years older.
No, that's Abraham. How old was Isaac?
Oh. Mom, again, correct it again. That's twice in one show. How old was Isaac?
Well, Isaac she had Isaac at 90.
Yeah. So my math has got to kick in here in a minute.
So 37
somewhere in there.
He was 37 years old at this point when his mother died. He was like a mama's boy. Oh, my mom's dead. I need a wife now. So he sends the Holy Spirit out to find us a wife for the son, the only begotten son, Isaac. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, how do I know? Well, look at all the stuff she's got to do. He's gonna send over, right? And so Eliezer says, it goes over. He says, okay, I got to bring these gifts, and she's going to do this and that and the other. She's going to feed the camels, but not just his camels. She's going to feed all the camels. In other words, he wants someone who's serious.
Right.
And, you know, of the same spirit, not from the pagan gods that are there. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm just giving you a synopsis of the whole story here. So the Holy Spirit is sent out by the Father to go and get a bride for the son. And here we go.
Yeah.
Gives gifts. He goes and he finds, okay, here's Rebecca. And she's willing to do all this work. She's serious about this. She's a good woman. And she's helpful. And she's got all the things you would want in a wife, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he's like, this is how you'll know, because she'll say, drink, and I'll give your camels a drink as well.
Yeah.
That is the one he appointed for Isaac. So we have this where he's going to go, the Holy Spirit is going to go get a bride. He's going to find out the right one, because he's going to sit there. The Holy Spirit's always asking people, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's the one who are saying, hey, I'll work in the house of God. I'll be an ambassador for Christ. I'll do whatever I have to do for the kingdom. It's not just about, hey, say three Hail Marys and call me in the morning.
Right, right.
It's what are you willing to do for the kingdom and the groom that is coming to be a wife?
Well, David, I got this here, and this kind of plays into exactly what you just said, but it's in my notes, so I'm going to read it, because I've actually got one right for a change. It says that the servant's journey unfolded, guiding hand of providence, arriving at Nahor's well, he prays one of the scripture's most remarkable prayers. It says, let the young woman to whom I shall say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink, and who answers, drink, and I will also water your camels. Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And it says, before he finished, Rebecca appears, beautiful, pure, industrious, and full of kindness. Without hesitation, she fulfills the exact sign he requested, drawing water not only for him, but for 10 camels, a staggering task that showed both her diligence and her heart.
Camels drink a lot of water.
Yeah, I would think. So the servant's reaction is to immediate worship, not of her, but bows his head and blesses the Lord, who has not forsaken his mercy and truth toward Abraham. That's what I got. That's my notes on it. So
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But wait, there's more.
Okay.
That's a pretty good insight. But think of him as the Holy Spirit and as the type of Christ, that's Isaac, is the son, and he's going to get the bride, who is a type of the church. and the Holy Spirit comes down and he's looking for people, you know, the Lord goes to and fro seeking who will serve the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what he's doing. And people, it's not just about, you know, it's not just this magical phrase that you can say and you're automatically saved.
Right.
It's about your heart. Are you willing to, you know, do the work and feed, you know, or bring up water for 10 camels, you know, and it's a bucket at a time. What are they, a gallon? You know, and a gallon is heavy. Imagine how much water she had to bring up.
Man,
you know, and not even complaining.
I have filled 125 gallon water aquariums before with 1 gallon at a time. Okay. And I can't even imagine trying to fill up one camel, because it's going to be a lot more than an aquarium.
Yeah, because they hang on to it. That's how they get through the desert. They just all that work. So, and he had gifts, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so now look at this. Now you have the Holy Spirit. He's coming, and he's got the bride who's far away. The bride never met the groom. Mm-hmm. Okay, the groom is excited, met the bride, and here we are. For the most part, the vast majority of the church never met the groom yet.
True.
Here we are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now we see that picture. And then she says, will you come and be the bride for Isaac, the son of Abram?
Mm-hmm.
So she went and talked to her dad. And anyway, she made the decision. Yeah, I'm going to do this. Here's a bunch of gifts. Okay, here's what's going to happen. And she was all decked out. And that's symbolic of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us all these gifts in order to remind us that the groom is coming.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to dismiss the gifts of the Spirit, that's like taking all the wedding gifts that he had and putting them in a shoebox and shoving them under your bed,
right,
and then having them in a yard sale in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
It's not real good look when Jesus comes back and says, hey, where's that thing I gave you?
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, we see where the Rebecca comes out and Isaac comes and they meet halfway, which is symbolic of the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They meet somewhere in the middle and for now forever to be together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a real good picture of the rapture here and the Holy Spirit sending those gifts. So we got 30 seconds though. You want to finish the first half?
Well, I'm just going to, you know, Abraham represents God the Father. That's what I got written down here. Servant foreshadows the Holy Spirit, and Isaac prefigures Christ, promising the promised heir dwelling in the land waiting for his bride to arrive.
This, and don't forget the gifts.
Yeah, with a lot of gifts to be.
Yeah, I like that.
All right, well, that is the first half of the show, but we're going to be back here in just a couple of minutes, so you guys hang in there with us for the second half of Last Christian.
The Last Christian Radio Show is 100% listener supported. For every broadcast and message, we rely on you to keep this mission alive. You can donate directly at lastchristian.net, where every fully tax-deductible gift matters. Or you can help by purchasing the everyday products you already use from our trusted partners. The Conservative Store, Everyday Dose Coffee, Prima Ancestral Protein Bars, and Christian Book. And now, through our partnership with the Israel Institute of Biblical Studies, you can register for courses that take you deeper into the Word of God. Students save 30% on individual classes and 45% on group courses. Remember, every donation or purchase through our links helps fuel this ministry. So visit lastchristian.net today. Stand and pray with us and support the mission.
Have you ever wondered what lies beyond the veil of what we call reality? What the mainstream refuses to acknowledge and the church too often fears to confront. Every night at 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, Shadows of a Greater Reality dares to pull back that veil, exposing the hidden, the mysterious, and the prophetic. Hosted by Nestor Arce and David Paxton, together with guest experts from around the world, this gripping hour explores the supernatural, the unexplained, and the biblically prophetic connections that are shaping our world in real time. From shadow governments to spiritual warfare, ancient prophecies to current day phenomena, if you think it's just conspiracy, think again. Tune in nightly at 10 p.m. Central to Shadows of a Greater Reality right here on Revelation Radio, where nothing is filtered, nothing is censored, and nothing is off limits. Because the truth is stranger and more urgent than fiction.
I think we're back.
We are.
We back, Joe?
We are indeed, David. We are indeed.
Okay,
we made it.
Great. All right, good. Because I think I got some of my brain back. Let's see what else we can come up with.
Okay. All right. Now, we got Sarah. Okay. Not Sarah. What's her name?
Rebecca.
Rebecca. Yeah, we got Rebecca.
Yeah, Rebecca.
Okay. Rebecca has passed the test. Okay.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
So she is selected. But just because she's selected doesn't mean that there's an acceptance in there. So we got to get to that point, okay, and exactly where that comes from, because I don't have any notes on it, you know, that.
No notes?
No notes on the acceptance thing, other than the fact that this, what's his name, goes to her parents and says that he wants her to be the wife of somebody else in a foreign land, and they say,
well,
okay.
Remember... Bethuel was the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. Remember who Nahor is?
No, I'm kind of iffy on that one.
That was Abraham's brother.
That's right. That's right. Okay. I'm with you now. Okay.
And so it was Milcah. So essentially, this is a cousin.
Yeah, because Abraham made it very specific. He was very specific. That it had that he was supposed to go and meet with people in his family to find this this bride. That didn't
correct.
That didn't mean sister or something, but you know, somebody in the family, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yep. And somewhere in the family, and that's that. Now, keep in mind too, because people say, "Oh, look, the, you know, incest and all this other nonsense."
Mm-hmm.
Now the reason that was set apart later, and that wasn't until Moses, which was 400. Some odd years later, that was actually set into place. And even Abraham married his half sister. Well, the reason it was set differently is later on is because of the DNA separation and God in his wisdom. So if they became too close, you start to inbreed. But the DNA was still strong enough back then where that didn't affect anything.
Mm-hmm.
So you could do the cousins, and essentially everybody in the world is a cousin of some degree.
Mm-hmm.
But he just said, okay, now we're going to make it a little further away and a little further away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And because now the DNA problem, but that wasn't an issue back then. And it didn't come around till Moses. It was many years later.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing, so, but before you go on, one thing that I failed to say here is that the servant did ask Abraham, what do I do if this girl says no? And said, the Lord will send his angel before you. In other words, all this was already, God had it laid out. All he had to do was follow instructions is what it comes down to, right?
Yep.
Okay.
That's it. And now you remember Rebecca had a brother named Laban, too, right?
I don't know. No, I don't. I don't.
Yeah, well, that's in 29. Remember who Laban was?
No,
because now we go to next generation. That was Jacob.
Okay,
so Rebecca,
him I know.
Yeah.
All right.
So Rebecca is a cousin of Isaac.
Okay.
And then Isaac has a kid, right? Well, he's got the twins.
Mm-hmm.
And Rebecca's like, yeah, I don't want that, you know, Esau character.
I don't want
here.
Esau, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To get the blessing. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want him to get the blessing because he married those pagan women. And he was, you know, he was kind of rough and hairy and he married. Mm-hmm. He's like, no. And so mom made that choice and tricked her husband.
Who was blind. He couldn't see. He could feel, though, but he couldn't see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he tricked her husband and... Then Jacob, after he got the blessing, went to Laban. And that's where he got his two wives.
Okay.
So he loved the one wife. Remember her name?
No.
The mother of Joseph and Benjamin. So it was Leah. And who's the other one?
I don't know.
Oh,
I'm sitting here fighting to my mind is like, I know this answer and I can't think
I
of
know
it.
What's his name? Oh no. So is it Milcah born to him with the bracelets? I bowed down in my father Abraham. All right, so I'll show you where it is.
Okay, so please.
Went in and oh, see my brain.
I think something's going on with me because I can't. I know this answer, and yet it's completely out of my mind. I can't think of it at all.
Yeah, Leah. It was Rachel, but it was in Genesis 29. So we're a few chapters up.
Okay. Yeah. That's yeah.
Oh, Rachel. But he loved Rachel, and he worked for 7 years. And then Laban, who was Rebecca's brother, tricked him and gave him Leah at first and made him work another 7 years for Rachel.
Oh, yeah, I remember this story. Yeah.
Okay. That's not for a few more chapters. That's why you couldn't find it in there. But, that again, they were cousins.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And then they had... You know, their own handmaidens, and they became the four wives and concubines of the 12 tribes. So, yeah, that's a whole convoluted story there as well. See, who said the Bible's boring?
No, it's not. You know, there's one great story after another in the Bible, and then you have to realize that that's not all that happened. That's the mind-blowing part, you know. Is that you know we're focusing in here on certain individuals, but there's an entire world going on out there.
Yep, exactly.
It's kind of crazy.
So we talked about the gifts, and so in Genesis 24, we're back up to that again. Mm-hmm. Came to pass in verse 52 when Abraham's servant or Eliezer heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Mm-hmm. So she says yes. Yay!
Now, and the servant brought forth. I mean, did he ask? Did he actually ask her like right off the top? Hey, you know, do you want to be married to this guy? I mean, is that how that worked?
Well, yeah. Think about it. Back then, they obviously knew who Abraham was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
They obviously knew he had a son, but it's not like they had telephones and internet back then.
Mm-hmm.
He was. You know, miles and miles and miles away. So,
and he's just, like, they knew he was like ultra rich, you know, sort of like Trump or something, you know.
Yeah.
Like a billionaire.
Yeah, he put Trump to shame.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll do it.
So she's like, wow, this guy who owns like the entire world wants me to marry him. Essentially,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
So he brought forth jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment, and gave them to Rebecca, and also gave her brother and to her mother precious things. Mm-hmm. So he blesses the whole family. The Holy Spirit is clear. Eliezer is the Holy Spirit. He will bless your entire family if you receive the Lord and choose to work for him.
Mm-hmm.
And get those, you know, water them camels. And they did eat and drink, and he and the men were here with him and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away to my master. And their brother and mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10. After that, she shall go. All right. So if we're looking at a rapture picture here, there's always this little delay, So we're like, oh, yeah, we're ready to go. And then there's a little delay. And here we are again. Hey, let her stay with us. Just 10 days. That's it. 10 days. That's it. And after that, she shall go. And he said to them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. What do you want to do? They called Rebecca and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go.
Yeah, my notes say that you know, she utters three simple words. I will go. That was it. It was final.
She's like, yeah, homie. And they sent away Rebecca, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebecca and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions.
Wow.
That's a lot of millions.
Yes,
that's
it is.
Billions of people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. Now, I wonder how many Jews there are on the planet right now.
Mm.
And throughout time, how many were there all along the way?
Oh, wow.
It's got to be in the billions by now.
Yeah, yeah, if not more. Yeah, got to be.
Yep. And then definitely when we get into the millennium, they're going to populate like nobody's business.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So Rebecca arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebecca and went his way. So here's a Holy Spirit saying, come with me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Isaac came from the way of the well of Laharoi, for he dwelt in the south country. Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebecca lifted up her eyes when she saw Isaac. She lighted off the camel. So look at that. Here's this picture. They're mm-hmm. both away. He sees her coming out. She sees him. She jumps off the camel. They all start running towards each other. That's a beautiful picture.
Yeah,
that's
it is.
Like the rapture. Hey, we're going to meet somewhere in the middle.
I've seen movies that kind of did that, you know? That's mm-hmm. that's really cool.
Yeah, yeah, they stole the story. But yeah, that's what Jesus is going to do for us.
Yeah, well,
you know,
see,
he's just waiting for the Father to say go.
Yeah, I'm just looking at this, you know, like he's got to look up, and it's not like, you know, you see a bunch of people coming to your house every day back then, you mm-hmm. know, so, you know, he sees it and he probably recognizes some of the people that are riding along or whatever and recognizes.
Well, he saw the camel.
Yeah, and realizes what's happening and it's like, oh, cool, and starts running. And yeah. She sees him and jumps off and she's running. And yeah, I can picture it in my mind. It's a beautiful deal, you know?
Mm-hmm. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, is my master. Therefore, she took a veil and covered herself. Ooh, says mm-hmm. he's got, ooh, she mm-hmm. covered herself.
Yeah,
and the servant told Isaac.
I'm sorry, yeah. a gesture of humility, purity, and reverence was what.
Yep.
I wrote down. Okay, go ahead.
Yep. She's just a veil. Okay, I'm going to. So basically, okay, now I'm going to reveal my face to you.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And, you know, but it's at the exact moment as opposed to just random.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. And took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death.
So,
isn't
now,
that something?
Yeah, this is a question that you may not know. But, you know, his mother, Sarah, died. And it said
yep.
that he takes Rebekah into his mother's tent, and
yep.
that comforted him. There's yep. got what was the period of time there that goes by? It would seem like his grieving would be over or not. What do you have any
yeah,
idea?
I mean, think about it. He was mama's boy.
Mama's
for
boy.
37
yeah.
years.
Yeah, yeah. That explains a lot right there. Okay. I hadn't put that together. But yeah, okay. I can see that.
Die until
I told you, I've warned you many times. I can come up with some of the craziest questions, and that
mm-hmm.
one was there.
Good.
Okay, that was a good one.
All right, so we really don't know how long. It was pretty much immediate.
Okay, all right. This wasn't
you know?
Months or something. Yeah, okay. All right, gotcha.
Yeah, so some people, the max is 3 years.
Okay. How do you come
and
up
so,
with that?
Yeah, people, what?
How do you come up with the 3 year thing?
I don't know.
That's my second crazy question of the day.
Yeah, it was just said soon after our, yeah. You know, I guess it was a Talmudic.
Oh, okay. Something in. Yeah.
Who says it was up till 40? Let me see. Look at my Bible.
Okay.
Chapter here. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
This this makes more sense. Now we're getting somewhere.
Okay.
All right. Genesis. Let's go into the next chapter.
Okay.
Genesis here somewhere. Chapter 25.
Okay.
And 25:20.
Okay.
Did you look it up?
Nope. I can, though.
Oh, okay. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife.
Okay.
So there you go.
Okay.
That's in Genesis 25:20.
All right. Now that
daughter
makes
of
sense.
Bethuel.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. he was 37. Yeah, I got you. Okay. That's the 3-year deal. Okay. I got you. Okay.
So the it just begs the question, why did he wait? You know, why didn't he get married at 18 or 20? You know,
yeah.
Is it a different world back then, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, they lived a lot longer. You know, now I think, I mean, when I was coming up, you waited till you were like maybe 20. You know, mm-hmm. that was kind of the norm. Now I think it's more like, you know, nobody write me any dirty notes on this or whatever. More like 17, 18, somewhere in that range. Mm-hmm. So, you know, go back in time when people are living to be 120 something years old or more.
Mm-hmm.
30 would not be out of the norm. You know, it would kind of be normal, right?
Yep. It would 100% be normal. Okay. The I guess what's interesting to me is that Sarah never knew that Isaac got married, even let alone had kids.
Mm-hmm.
So she still believed that promise until the day of her death that she would be the mother of millions,
right?
And even billions if mm-hmm. Rebekah mm-hmm. was going to be that way.
Yeah.
And she just never knew.
Yeah.
In that she knows now, obviously.
Yeah.
But
right.
That's just very interesting when you yeah. actually go back and read the stories, and it's like, no, yeah. he was there, and he hung out with his mother until she died, and then started looking for a wife.
I wonder if that was sort of the norm, David, to help your parents as long as they needed you, or you know.
Yeah, I mean, you lived in their house,
mm-hmm.
and then you know they built an addition to the house for you and your mm-hmm. wife.
Yeah,
and then you would kind of move up the line when you know, your father passed away.
Right.
Then you'd move into the bigger house, and then give yeah. the littler house to your son until you passed, and mm-hmm. kind of like that, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's a whole different,
very interesting,
whole different way of doing things way back then, for sure. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, well, and then you have another question.
Well, I'm crazy notes here. I don't know how close they are. This is, the field represents the world in which Christ now intercedes, mm-hmm. watching for his bride's arrival.
Yep.
Okay. The evening time represents the final days before his return. And mm-hmm. I've got right, Zechariah 14:7 here declares at evening time it shall be light.
Mm-hmm.
Then the veil represents the reverence and the covering of righteousness given to the church by Christ.
Yep.
Sarah's tent represents continuity, the covenant
yes.
passed from the matriarch of faith to the bride of promise.
Very interesting.
That makes sense.
So it's kind of like Revelation 12.
Okay.
Yeah, another... you know, so this had the sun was caught up, and as a whole imagery in Revelation 12 too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. And you got to remember they're all types and patterns. So it may not be the exact thing, but it's, hey, here's another picture to show you what's happening mm-hmm. in the spirit world, which I can't really explain to you because it's in the spirit world.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
but
now,
here's
how about this?
Somewhat of a picture.
Mm-hmm. How about this now? It says, just as Rebekah was taken from her family and led through the wilderness to meet her unseen bridegroom, so mm-hmm. the church will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17.
Yes.
The Spirit like Abraham's servant, will complete his mission and present the bride to the Son in glory.
Yes. Don't forget the gift.
I thought that was really cool. Yeah.
Yes. And that's what it is. And he doesn't know either. And that's the whole picture. Mm-hmm. You think, oh, Jesus is God. He must know. It's not the picture they're painting. no one knows, not even the Son, because it's the Father who sends the time. Mm-hmm. It's the picture.
Yeah.
So that's where we are. Like we talked about the gifts, we talked about Eliezer being God as my helper. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to go into Ephesians 5, right?
Yeah.
And what verse did you want to look at?
I'm looking back right now.
In 27. It's like, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it might be holy and without blemish.
Right.
So, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So I wanted to touch on this because it points to this picture here as well, mm-hmm. of the glorious bride. And here she was presented. She got the veil on, right?
Right, right.
Well, it says that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. So we got this big thing, especially, Charlie Kirk was very big on the Seven Mountain thing.
Okay.
And I think he was kind of going back and forth in his mind, if I could figure that out. And because some of the things he said were actually pretty good, and then some of them were like Seven Mountain-y, and then some of them were like Catholic-y. And I think he was starting to back away from some of them, but they all hate each other. Somebody got in the mix and decided to do something about it.
Well, now, just to touch on that before you go on, when Charlie Kirk was assassinated, there was one of the guys on Fox News, I don't remember who it was, one of the mm-hmm. hosts there, who is a Catholic. And mm-hmm. he said that Charlie had contacted him, and mm-hmm. he was curious about some Catholic-y things, okay? So, you know, now what that means, I don't know. He just expressed it like Charlie was always digging for more information. He wanted more and more and more and more and more. And maybe he was trying to, I think his wife might have been Catholic at one time or something. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. But anyway, I think he was trying to figure out a way to put everything together to where it made more sense to him. I truly do believe he was a Christian. I think he was having some. Well, I mean, we all have thoughts, okay? I mean, he's a human being too, or was, right?
Yeah, and I remember, even my early days, I was at different churches, and they all pushed these different things. Mm-hmm. There was one church that said, "Oh, absolutely, there's no rapture. We're going to stay mm-hmm. here, and we right. have to take over." Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and that was way back in like. Even the 80s and 90s, and then there's the others who think, the rapture is going to happen tomorrow morning. So we don't right. have to do anything. Mm-hmm. And that's always been the case for quite some time. And somewhere along the line, everybody's whacked, it's just as simple as that.
Yeah.
But I think that's where he was. He started to see all these things. And now because he had the spotlight that he had, he's trying to figure out, okay, what's going on here and there and there? And there's just mm-hmm. some people that didn't like that.
Yeah.
Okay, because they want to form that new world religion. One of them was this whole Seven Mountain thing. Mm-hmm. And the short story on that, do you know about the Seven Mountains?
I do not. You've mentioned it a couple of times now, and I haven't ever heard of it.
Well, there's the New Apostolic Reformation. Okay. And essentially, it contradicts what we just saw here in Ephesians 5.
Oh, okay.
It said that 5:27, it says that he might present it to himself a glorious church. Well, the New Apostolic Reformation says, the church has to make itself perfect before Jesus can come back and get her.
Mm,
which is a heresy. We're never going to be perfect.
No,
and
so.
That's where the seven mountain idea comes from. They have, oh, we have to be the head of the mountain of entertainment. We have to be the head of the mountain of government. We have to be the head of the mountain of education. And we have to be the head of the mountain of media. You know, so it's got these seven mountains, and that Christians should be at the top of all those things and basically dictating how everyone else should act as Christians. And that's not at all what Jesus said. He says, you're going to be in the world, but not of the world.
Right.
I didn't call you here. And he says, when I come back to rule, then it'll be a righteous rule. But it's not going to happen until he comes back. Right. And he is going to present himself a glorious church. We are not going to make ourselves so special that, oh, look, we're good enough. Now Jesus can come back and get us.
I would think it'd be just, yeah, I think it'd be just the opposite. Yeah, I would think it'd be just the opposite. You know, we're at the bottom of the rung on just about everything. You know, that's kind of
even said that. He says, you guys suck. Jesus said the children of the world are way better than you guys. It's a good thing I love you. That's what he said.
There you go, right?
But that's the whole idea of this. It's, you know, the Holy Spirit went out and she was just willing to work. Imagine how dirty and tired and sweaty she was after watering 10 camels.
Yeah.
Right? He wasn't exactly all, you know, without spot or wrinkle at that point. But that's when he chose her.
And that's when
he chooses us, if we're willing to do the work for him and for this kingdom.
Well, I'm just going to finish with this, David. It just says this entire narrative is just a prophetic parable of redemption. That's basically it.
Let's do it.
Yeah. What do you think? Is it?
Oh, that's
basically,
it. I thought you had something to say.
That's it. I mean, you know, it's the father.
You're going to go on with the narrative.
You know, the father choosing a bride for his son. The spirit guiding her home. The son awaiting her arrival. We live much the same way right now.
The Holy Spirit is our helper, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what Eliezer means. God is our helper.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So therein lies it. I know we talk on every show about how, you know, the ABCs, just confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Mm-hmm. And that's the essence of salvation is to do that. But you really got to, it's not like just this magic phrase and you say it and you're automatically saved and now you can go out, you know, drinking, cussing, smoking, and barking at the moon every night.
Right,
you
right.
You can't. Mm-hmm. You have to be willing to, you know, give your life for the kingdom. And that's why he said many will come to me and say, I did this and that and the other. He says, I never knew you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you'll be real careful. So, yeah, that's the essence. Accept the contract that Christ gave for you. But then be willing to do the work necessary in the kingdom. And then you'll go out to meet him in the air when he comes back. It's going to be a glorious day.
Amen.
So, Lord willing, if we're still here, we'll see you on the next show, guys. You have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Last Christian Radio Show with David Paxton and J.D. Williams, where faith meets truth and prophecy comes alive through God's Word. Tonight we've walked with Abraham from the cave of Machpelah to the calling of Rebekah, seeing once again that God's promises never fail. Be sure to join us tomorrow night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern, 8 o'clock p.m. Central, right here on KRRB Revelation Radio, as we continue unveiling the prophetic truths of Scripture and the signs of the times. To learn more, replay past episodes, or support our fully tax-deductible, listener-supported ministry, visit www.lastchristian.net. Your prayers, partnership, and generosity help us reach the world with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Until next time, stay grounded in the Word, stand firm in the faith, and remember, the unfiltered, uncensored truth starts right here. If you are hungry to learn more about Bible Scripture and wish to gain a greater insight into the Word of God and get the Word of God into you, then we invite you to join Dudley Anderson every evening for his internationally syndicated and powerful radio broadcast, Insight, a half-hour Bible talk show featuring renowned Bible teachers and guests, where faith meets clarity and God's truth meets everyday life. Each and every night, Dudley brings you fresh perspectives, biblical wisdom, and heart-stirring teaching. Because the more we open Scripture,
the more it opens for us. Insight, a part of his ministry at surereality.net, explores timeless truths and discovers the sure reality of Christ's love, hope, and purpose. Don't miss a single broadcast of Insight with Dudley Anderson, every night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central, right here on Revelation Radio, where faith comes alive, one Bible verse and one exciting scripture at a time.